The following is brought to you in association with and as a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This episode of Neckbreaker is officially brought to you by our friends over at ClickItTicket.com. They have tickets for thousands of events, including Judas Priest, WWE, Phantom of the Opera, Cats, NFL games, and even past alumni Andrew WK.
ClickItTicket.com is proud to offer our listeners a 5% discount off any ticket purchase. Just Google ClickItTicket, check out their selection, and add our exclusive discount code NECKBREAKER at checkout.
One more time, Google ClickItTicket, add some tickets to your cart, and enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout for your 5% discount. And now, enjoy the show. You're listening to the final part four of our Full Terror Assault themed episodes. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. We hope you enjoyed parts 1, 2, and 3 with Revocation, Obstructor, and Iron Reagan / Cannabis Corpse, and all the other new bands that maybe you didn't know about before, but maybe you'll go out and get to know them a little bit better. Like I said, this is part 4 of our Full Terror Assault series, and we can't think of anybody else better to close this up than past alumni Internal Bleeding. Such good dudes. We really had a good time with them. We also had a chance to do a pro wrestling panel exclusively on the best and worst heel turns of all time. And we met some new friends in a couple of bands called Scalafreya and Super Chief. And we have our closing remarks just to wrap up the entire festival. Let's cut the shit. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Internal Bleeding, you guys have been on. Welcome back.
Yeah.
We're at Full Terror Assault Day 3. We're still drinking some day beers, or trying to. How was the ride? Is this a one-off, or are you guys on a tour right now?
This is a one-off.
Yeah.
The ride, actually, we thought it would suck, but, you know, like, 3.5 hours, and then we're driving.
Wait, that sounds like Nashville. Did you fly into Nashville?
Yeah. Yep. But our intrepid alcoholic Jay goes, "Whoa, wait a minute. I see a distillery."
Well, yeah, we had to stop. Stopped off at Pritchard's in Tennessee.
Got a tour.
You know, Tennessee, right?
Tennessee, yeah. We were on our way over here. On our way over here down the highway, you know, you see that little blue signs with the Shoney's and the Waffle House and Pritchard's Distillery.
Houses, yep. I got an idea.
Yeah.
This whole
festival. I gotta stop over here and take a piss, guys.
That's right. So yeah, we made the stop over there and
did a little tasting.
A little touring. Some purchasing.
Yep. The whole fest and, is BYOB, so it's even better.
I mean, exactly. You need some fuel for the stage, you know?
Exactly.
You always need some fuel.
And then, of course, we saw a barbecue joint, so we had to stop. We had some awesome barbecue and some really weird
nice little mom and pop place.
Jesus.
The Copper Top.
Was it called Restaurant?
No. It's actually
Copper Top.
The sign just says Eat. Right? It's a neon sign that just says Eat.
Yeah. I'll take a food and how about a drink too?
right. Exactly.
Would you like a big drink or a small drink?
I'll take a small drink.
Small drink.
It was actually one of those towns that you think was in The Walking Dead.
Oh, God. That drive from Nashville to here was like all fucking woods. All corn and woods.
I think everyone else who was sitting in the restaurant eating was all related, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had you guys on about a year ago. You were thinking about putting out your full length, and it's already come out.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That, within a fucking
Came
year.
Came out in September.
Good to go. You've been touring on that and all that shit, I'm sure?
Yeah, we did a European tour. We did a U.S. tour with Suffocation.
Oh, yeah. I saw the flyer for that.
And then...
Imperium, and now, right?
What?
Imperium was the name. Was it? Or what's
yeah,
the name?
Imperium, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
And toured with some jerk named Blue.
Yeah.
Some
fucking donut guy. I don't think... Blue's a great guy, but he's like so mellow. I don't think he was prepared for life in the van with Internal Bleeding.
In Canada.
The ensuing cruelty and insensitivity to every person we saw, no matter what race or color they were.
He had nothing but good things to say about you guys.
Oh, that's good.
Sure.
We love him. And
he's a great liar.
After a couple of... I'd say after a week or so, he's like... Yeah, that guy's a fucking prick.
We're like,
Blue, that's it.
He might have balanced out the cigar weed balance in the van, though. Maybe, I don't know if the weed maybe took over from the cigar smell. Maybe.
I heard it was dabs on that one.
It was dabs.
Yeah, a little bit of dabbing.
Chris and Blue were dabbing their heads off, and I was I was banking down the van and with cigar smoke.
I think I have customers. Can you
excuse me? Okay.
Right.
He's got customers.
Oh, yeah.
What are you
business?
Working in Alleyway or something?
We're not paying you shit. Go get paid. Paid.
But you gotta leave the water.
That's what's up. Yeah, get some shit. Fucking refund.
So I saw a neck breaker. What are you guys doing here?
We've
what the fuck are you doing here?
Losing a fuckload of money.
So are we?
Welcome to the club.
They shipped us out
money.
Here.
What's money?
All right.
It's a thing I used to have.
Yeah, exactly. It all goes into metal. And I guess you guys metal in wrestling.
Yeah,
I hit on a bunch of scratch tickets before I came here, so I'm like, all right, it's cool. It evens out for me.
No, yeah,
there you go.
I pretty much exhausted my fantasy baseball money coming here.
No. Oh, geez. What do you think about – why am I interviewing these guys?
Let's talk about it.
What do you think about Superfly and his murder charge?
Oh, I know about that.
Yeah.
He should be way better at the Royal Rumble. Second time I've made that joke in this podcast.
Oh, and it's a good one.
He did it. You know he did it. He's too old.
You were practicing that for like weeks, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. In front of a mirror and everything.
Oh, he's super proud of it. Yeah. We talk about it not talk about him making the joke not on the podcast.
Right. Yeah, super. He did it. You know he did it. I mean, 80s, all coked up. You know
hey,
he
dude,
did exactly.
Cocaine makes you do beautiful things, right?
Yeah.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, it's a fucking hell of a drug.
Bro, she would not shut up in Superfly.
You wanted to ask about the trilogy, right?
Yeah. I was wondering if you could explain sort of like the backstory of the trilogy on the new album.
Well, it started... I think it did. It kind of started accidentally, right? Like, after we did the first part, I think me and Jay started talking. We're like, wouldn't it be cool if we, like, blended a song together? And
yeah, I mean... Lyrically, you know, the theory behind the lyrics and everything, it was definitely you and Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when you first came to me with The Discovery, which is part one of the trilogy, you know, I was blown away by what he had written. He pretty much wrote that whole song by himself. That was like one of the only songs on the album that he just kind of had all in it. It didn't need to be touched, you know, it was just... You know, and the ending riff for that song, you know, it goes out.
Thanks.
It goes on and on and on, and then it goes into part two.
Yeah.
And from the first time we heard it, it sounded that way. It felt that way, you know. And we just said, you know what, this is something that we've never done. IB's never done before, and you know, let's give it a shot.
Because I remember you guys played the whole thing at Building Temples last year.
Yeah, that was the first time we played
it. That was the first time we ever played that. Yeah,
it killed. It was probably my favorite part of that festival.
It kills us too. It's a solid three. It's three, you know, three songs without stopping, pretty much. It's definitely a good. It's a good opener because after you play that, the rest of the set is easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just get it out of the way.
Lyrically, actual song, I can remember how I came up with Patterns of Force. It was actually putting my son to sleep, and him and I have a ritual at night. We watch Star Trek: The Original Series.
Awesome.
And we were watching the episode called Patterns of Force, which is one of everybody's favorites when they go back to Nazi Germany.
Oh, that was a good one. Yes.
And that episode is called Patterns of Force. So I called Keith. I said, I got this fucking idea. So I spit it out to Keith, and he's like, that's fucking brilliant. And then Keith and I just twisted the story around. It's about a guy. It's about a kind of like a guy who literally finds a book about how to take over the world. Because the song is set in the future, and the future is all hippie, love, peace, shit. There's no war and anything like that. And this guy finds a book. And the book tells him how to control the world. And it's all about the war that he starts to enslave the world.
Awesome.
And each song goes through... I mean, Keith can go through it better than me because he wrote most of the lyrics.
What a trilogy.
So I talked about Discovery. So, he discovers the book. And so...
part two of the plague agenda is... the killing needs to be expedited. The planet needs to be vacant so he can have it. And others can come and take the planet. So a plague agenda is implemented that just wipes out the whole planet.
Tell them about the plague that they introduced, because it's cool what you came up with for the plague. It literally,
was I drunk? I don't remember.
This plague literally dehydrates you until you shrivel up into nothing.
Hey, where's my arm?
The babies in the womb are being...
Don't ask me where I came up with that.
Dying of thirst, and so it's like starving everybody of liquid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really cool... And then the final part, the final movement, or the
the aftermath.
The aftermath of what, you know, the world is destroyed and it's ripe for taking over.
Yep.
You know, we've been trying to ask bands because, I mean, we're flying out from Boston, so bands are all over the place here. Long Island, in the Long Island area, is that pay-to-play shit still going down over there?
Oh, big time.
Of course.
Could we ask people from Seattle and all these other fucking states? I don't know. I want to know if it's a worldwide epidemic.
It's a worldwide epidemic. It's not like that in Europe, but it's a worldwide epidemic here, and we don't play on Long Island anymore.
Yeah, Long Island
sucks. If you guys...
Because they don't want us to play because they have to pay us.
Oh, yeah. Because
we don't play for free.
Bands just have to pay
to
play.
Maybe on the next
album. We've been around long enough that we're going to get paid. I'm sorry.
No, exactly. You know, bullshit.
Yeah, it's terrible. And you know what? It's I blame the bands because they're willing to do it.
Yeah. A promoter's point of view, I you can't blame them because why would they pay another if they're paying a big band X amount of money to fly in and hospitality and
they gotta recoup.
Why would they want to pay another band to play when they have, you know, 15 high school bands that are willing to sell the tickets and
they're gonna
do
break
it for
up
free.
Next month.
Yeah,
because you know they will.
They paid to get on 3 shows, and they're not the Foo Fighters now.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No one wants to put in all the work to.
That's an interesting point.
To become what for the longevity, they think it should happen like that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how younger people.
And you know what? The internet did that to people too. You know, anyone could make a song in their bedroom and upload it and you know. Yeah. 24 hours later, have 7,000 likes and think that
all from Indonesia,
all from Jakarta, Indonesia, and you know, and that's
thanks for the support, by the way. Yeah.
You know how many people
you
said they were coming
from
Indonesia?
Whoa, look at that good design they came up with. Whoa, great!
That's the greatest thing. We have a show like in Massachusetts or something. And there's like 600 Indonesians saying they're coming.
Yeah, right. They all have shirt designs.
Yeah, you look at
seen.
The event page for the show that like you're playing next month in like you know
we never
in like Cambridge,
like,
and there's 7,000 people confirmed going, and 6,900 of them are from Jakarta, is great. I love their enthusiasm.
They all have the first name slamming.
Never that plane ticket though.
They're there in spirit.
Another fucking band is starting,
and we love it. We love our Indonesian fans.
It's a hype guy. It'll be a while.
Can somebody tell this guy to stop? We're trying to do an interview.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't get the memo
from
up there
him
on
that
stage.
Weekend.
All right. Just tell the guy to stop.
Man, yeah,
really?
Right.
They don't care about
we're a junior headline.
Who are you hyping? We're here.
That means you've been running for president.
Was there a show going on?
Wait, correct me for a moment. Were you guys on the upcoming Maryland Death Fest, or did you play it this
past
year?
We just played it.
How did that shit go down?
That was fucking amazing.
What?
Maryland
Death
Fest? That was awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
We had like half the club on the stage when we were playing. So it was
that's
really
fucking
cool.
Awesome.
All right, we'll
all right,
back.
Goodbye, thank you.
All right. Yeah. Hey, you off. Internal bleeding, just fucking Google that shit. Guys, we'll stick around.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Come back. You listen to podcasts.
What?
Albums?
What?
Radio shows?
What?
GPS directions?
What?
And just about everything else. But why not listen to audiobooks? But where do you even get them?
You should start today with Audible. They have over 150,000 audiobooks with plenty of metal and wrestling titles too, and they're all compatible with your mobile devices.
For a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial, visit audibletrial.com/neckbreaker. That's audibletrial.com/neckbreaker. If you're smart enough to download and understand podcasts, I'm willing to bet that you already use Amazon to make most of your purchases.
But wait, before you buy
Micro Machines,
support this podcast by visiting neckbreaker.net first and clicking the big Amazon logo on the right-hand column.
This button brings you to the standard Amazon site and you pay the same low, low prices, but we just get a small cut of the sale from Amazon to help cover our show expenses. So definitely visit neckbreaker.net first before any of your drunk and random Amazon purchases.
Take a little breather from band interviews to switch to a wrestling panel. I don't even know if we did one yesterday, did we?
Yeah, we talked.
I'm sure we did at some point.
The Iron Reagan dude was pretty much a wrestling
panel. Oh, wait, that whole Iron Reagan cannabis
The only
course,
time we talked about music was when he plugged everything at the end.
Right at the very, right.
Which is really kind of perfect.
We're bringing back Josh from our day one wrestling panels. We're going to talk all things heel turn. Best and worst heel turns. We'll do a round table. And whose topic idea was this?
I said it, but I didn't have anything for it. I go first all the time.
I'll go first. I got a good one. And I'm inspired recently by the guy working the Full Terror Assault table. He looks like CM Punk, so I'm going to go all the way back to 2012 summer. CM Punk turning heel on The Rock and setting up his title loss for the Royal Rumble.
That's a good heel turn.
Yep. These two faces.
That was the best heel turn of the current PG era thing. But, I mean, if you want to talk about worst heel turns, you got to go with Big Show.
Which one?
Yeah, right.
I was going to say it's a 16-way tie.
All of them.
16-way
tie. He has like 3 a week.
He has never turned heel had it not been fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
When he turned heel in 1998 and rejoined the NWO, I was like, why are you rejoining the NWO? They broke your neck like a month ago.
let's stick to best, and then we'll come back with the worst, because I don't have a worst yet, but I have a best. Owen Hart on Bret Hart.
That's a good one.
Absolutely good. I mean, they built it up so perfectly, and they built it right to the Rumble where he kicked that leg out and said, fuck you, Bret.
Kicked his leg out of his leg.
Yeah.
Kicked his leg out of his leg and said, fuck you, Bret. I'm Owen Hart. I'm better than you.
He's a black heart, damn it. Soul survivor.
You got the build up to WrestleMania 10 with that nearly 5-star match, if not 5 stars.
I love the story behind that match where they had something planned to make Owen look great with all these high flying moves, and then Bret canned it, and he was like, "No, you're gonna work like a heel, and you're gonna go over."
Yeah, exactly. And then it built up to SummerSlam, the cage match later that same year, if I'm not mistaken. So that whole feud, I mean, it went from January to fucking August, at least even longer than that, probably. But yeah, that heel turn. John or Josh. So,
I mean, one that always comes to my mind when I first hear heel turns is The Rockers, Michael's turn on Jannetty.
That is a good one.
Oh, that is a good one.
I mean,
one,
I know it's overplayed a lot. I mean, if you go and look at anything, history of Shawn Michaels, it's one of the first things you're going to see. But it was awesome. I mean, even for that time, I mean, when heel turns were few and far between, because they were just trying to develop those characters, just seeing...
Programs lasted a long time then, too.
Are The Rockers done?
Sure.
There you go.
And you saved the easiest for last, but thank you everyone for not taking it. The Hulk Hogan turning heel and starting NWO.
I figured that's what this topic was about, was the greatest heel turn of all time.
The greatest heel turn of all time.
Alex, oh, yeah.
Except for his recent heel turn.
I mean.
I got another one, though. When Andre, the Giant, came out and joined up with Bobby Heenan.
On Piper's Pit?
Yeah, and he ripped Hogan the shirt and the cross, and then Piper was like, "You're bleeding. You're beating." That was a pretty good one.
Let's see. Hogan Savage. Our Savage turning on Hogan, I think. Kind of being the jealous.
Oh, yeah.
He always had eyes for Miss Elizabeth. Lost Hogan.
Alex, so I know you just joined us. So we're talking wrestling heel turns when good guys turn bad. I don't know if you are a wrestling...
I was.
Connoisseur of ours. Can you think of a time where a good guy turned bad?
Yeah, I think I think it was probably right around the time where I just decided I was losing interest in where they were going with, like, the storylines and stuff.
Right.
Because I was just like, really, like, this is just... I spent, like, however many years, like, watching the Corporation versus fucking Generation X.
Oh, yeah.
And all this shit that, like, they would throw Stone Cold into the middle of. And then next thing I know, Stone Cold... is like what, doing a tag team with The Rock? So like The Rock being the evil guy,
right?
Now
yeah.
All of a sudden, that was when I think I officially was like, I don't think I can like follow this anymore.
Why am I giving you 2 hours
offense,
every Monday?
Russo booked you out of wrestling.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Russo booked you out of the guy, the writer for WWE at
sweet.
The time.
Exactly. But I mean, I didn't hate it. I was just like, that was my.
That did it for you. That was
when
like
the Rock,
this is
when the Rock was
the
no longer
a
shithead.
So you know what? That could be a worse heel turn then, because if it was a good heel turn, he'd be intrigued. But we're talking the best times that happened and the worst times that happened. You were so disgusted by it, it turned you off from the whole product.
Yeah.
So that could be a worse heel turn. The way I put it, can you think of other bad ones?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan in 2012 when he was world champion. Turning him heel at that point was the stupidest thing ever.
Turning him heel at that point got him over for later, though. Trying to be annoying started the yes thing.
It's very true.
That yes thing was
right.
Super
I always kind of looked at it as the Obi-Wan Kenobi match at WrestleMania 28 that he had.
Oh, God.
So Chris,
they owe me. They still owe me a title match.
Right.
No, no, no obituary forever in death.
Watch the Extreme Rules 2 out of 3 match. That match ruled. Him and Sheamus.
Yeah, I believe that.
Chris, you're going to disagree with me. I know you know where I'm going with this one. Is the Austin heel turn at WrestleMania?
I agree with you.
I consider that worst.
Worst. Okay.
Worst heel turns.
Good heel turn. Bad storyline overall.
So exactly. I mean, Austin turned on The Rock, right, at WrestleMania. He had the assist from Vince McMahon. All of this whole build up with the whole court. Fuck the boss.
The best part and about then, that is like,
and then
all
the boss
is,
gives him a chair. He hits him with a chair and
yeah,
says, "I like
is,
the boss."
All he had to do is hit The Rock 13 times with a chair, and he would have won. You didn't even need Vince.
I don't know. I think it went over like a fart in church, and even Austin admits that he didn't know why they did that.
It went over with Texas huge because everyone went shithouse when he won the title again.
Yeah, see, so it didn't even work. If they popped, the heel turn to me didn't work.
When the glass breaks at WrestleMania 17, the crowd just that is the craziest like stadium reaction you'll ever see.
Yeah, that I give you that. That's a great entrance. Can you think of any other times where heels are good guys?
Worst heel turn when Stevie Ray turned on Booker T to join the NWO. Who the fuck cares?
Oh man, Stevie Ray. Oh my god. Yeah, at that point, there had to have been 12 members at that point.
Oh, he was towards later, the end, and he did not look good in white and black.
Yeah, he joined NWO B Squad when like the NWO wasn't even cool. It was all about the Wolfpack at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he joined Black and White.
Speaking
right?
of which, the Outsiders breaking up and Scott Hall turning heel at Slamboree 98. That was stupid. Hey, we got the hottest thing in wrestling right now. Let's split it up.
Yeah, that
that sounds great.
I want some of that Sting money.
Sting money.
I'm going to drop from the ceiling.
For best, not best, but one memorable, maybe it's just the impact it had real immediately, was Matt and Jeff Hardy. When Matt went in the ring, and I think he had a steel chair. He had a chair, slid in the ring, and then he was going to hit his opponent, but he did it so nice that it was that very, you know how you see a heel turn coming, you're like, okay, yeah, kind of like Jon Stewart at SummerSlam, you kind of saw it coming. But Matt was so quick. He slid in and then immediately did the swing change mid-swing and boom, nailed Jeff full head-on, like right in the face. Not top of the head. He's just like, fuck you, brother. Nailed him. I like that turn.
I hate you, my brother. I want the guy who stole my girlfriend to win.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
They were both on drugs. They didn't know what they were doing.
I'll stick on the HBK path on one of the better ones in Triple H Michaels.
2002.
2002, that set up that rivalry that lasted just forever.
Bloodbath.
Awesome.
They teased the DX thing, which you haven't seen in 2 years, so it was going to be like good and big again.
Oh, yeah.
And, they teased. That was a good exit.
Oh,
yeah, I like that one.
What about...
Although it set up the Reign of Terror, so...
It did, but it also, in a way, and I'm not a big Triple H backer, but at the same
New
time...
New Hampshire!
He's listening and he's pissed.
At the same time, it was cool to see somebody get that heel status again, had it in a little bit. So
Triple H listens to nothing but Neckbreaker when he's vacationing at Lake Winnipesaukee.
Always.
Yeah.
He wants to hear three
dudes
in their 30s.
I went to Canobie Lake Park one time, and I hung out with China and Triple H.
And I went to Men's Warehouse.
I went to Wen's Warehouse, too, and he was...
Wen's Warehouse.
I went to Wen's Warehouse. It's an offshoot. They take the stuff
the
that Billy 19 used to take... And then he has him hemmed because, I mean, just because he's got a lot of money doesn't mean he likes to have a nice suit for a great price. So he goes to Wen's Mare House.
I don't know the year. Shawn Michaels turning on Hogan. The super kick. You know, they were tagging. I couldn't see it coming, but I think it happened very quickly. I like it when I don't see it coming. It has to be that immediate fuck you turn.
Which is almost impossible to do now.
You have to be so quick if you're going to do it. If you pause for a moment... You're done.
Another bad one was the Radicals. They brought him in, white hot from WCW, and then they're like, hey, we're going to turn you heel because Triple H doesn't want to work with Benoit. He doesn't want to work with someone who's going to outclass him.
Too short, yeah. You're going to outwork him.
No, it was because he was going to get outclassed.
Do you know why Benoit got a tryout early 90s? Then.
What's that?
Now he does.
Do you know Benoit got a tryout in the early 90s?
Yeah. I did not know that.
Bret Hart got him a tryout, like 94, 95. Vince didn't see anything in him. let him go. I guess Vince was right all along,
He was looking for characters.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted a character. He wanted a garbage man.
We want you to be...
Same thing with Jericho. They wanted to bring him in like, 94 and make him into, like...
one of those the jobber characters.
Yeah, one of those, like, terrible, like, Max Moon type of...
A hockey player,
and
right?
He was like, no, because I don't want to do that and then, like, be a joke. And he's like, I'm, like, the real deal.
Right. But, I think a lot of wrestlers would take the Honky Tonk Man deal. The Cole Cabana, like
that. That's why Fandango does it.
Yeah. You know, you always have work. It's just a joke, but you will always have work. You'll have work for a long time.
The Honky Tonk Man was also, like, the Intercontinental Champion for fucking 16 years.
That's true. But, like, the gimmick. Like,
everyone wants the gimmick.
But,
I mean, the gimmick worked because it was, like, something that no one could beat because he was a sleazebag.
His gimmick worked because he worked like a heel and he wrestled like a heel and he cut promos like a babyface.
Yeah.
He's like, thank you, you're a trick of the audience. As they're booing him.
Hamming it up is my phrase of the weekend. Would ham it up a lot.
Yeah, rum hamming it up.
Rum hamming it up.
Wait, could you count Bobby Heenan commentating in the 1992 Royal Rumble a face heel turn with Piper? Just for a quick...
Oh, my God.
It's not a skirt. It's a kilt. It's a kilt.
It is a skirt.
Oh, no, it's a skirt.
It's the material and the length, I think, that determines that, right?
I think it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, for a skirt?
You wear it.
Or
if
a kilt?
You wear it a little flamboyant, it's more a skirt.
I don't think it
depends
has anything to do with
the
wearer.
Shoes match.
Yeah. If the person looking at a person wearing a kilt says, that's a skirt, it's a skirt.
Yeah,
they say it's a kilt, it's a kilt.
Oh, God. Anything else heel turn
related?
This broader, on
her
panel?
Kilt was so short, I could see it. But
the mini kilts is weird.
Turning Ric Flair heel. And, they did the double switch after Flair returned with Hogan. They turned Hogan face and they turned Flair heel. I was like, why are you going back to 1994?
Wait, so why was Flair a baby?
Because he just came back and he was feuding with Bischoff.
Oh, okay, that makes
sense. You are no good, son of a bitch.
Flair never works as a baby. I mean, he shouldn't be. I mean, but you want to cheer him, but...
At that point, after hearing 7 months of We Want Flair, you're not going to come back and work heel.
You want Flair saying, these shoes cost more than your house. You know, that's the Flair you want.
Yeah, to Hogan.
To anybody.
To a heel
exactly.
Hogan.
You don't want.
He could have been heel Ric Flair against heel Hogan. He would have been babyface.
Yeah, you don't want Flair coming out styling and profiling with the crowd. You want him yelling at the crowd, saying "Fuck you, my shoes, your house."
I bought these shoes that cost more than your house, and I didn't even have to make a terrible movie.
Yeah, right.
That's why this hoodie cost $35, and that one cost $25. I don't know what that cost. I'd be ashamed to wear it.
Do you remember Kyle's wedding? Sort of, probably. And the whole time, I just kept taking my rental shoe off and saying, these shoes cost more than your house.
Okay, I do remember that.
I said it 5 times for every 7 and 7 I had, which was about 30.
I wore my I wore my suit like Vince McMahon at Shaquini's wedding.
Wait, what do you mean?
No tie, shirt buttoned down. I walked around like an asshole.
Good call.
Did you have the swagger and everything?
Oh, that's what I mean, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, man. So if we don't have any other heel turns, maybe we'll come back after the break. We're still here at Full Terror Assault, day number 3.
Oh, well, there's a new heel turn. Heel turn, neckbreaker costs $1 now.
Jeez, not even 99 cents. You're going to a full
dollar.
$1.
Yeah, $1. We want the tax
dollar. Through the marketing plans.
We want that tax penny.
We will be back.
Yeah.
When you're done with this episode of the Neckbreaker Podcast, you've killed your family and friends and you've turned their teeth into a necklace, take a few minutes and head on over to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. ShiningWizards.com, available on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and much more. ShiningWizards.com. Kill your friends and family, please. Compliments of the Neckbreaker Podcast.
At our table this evening, this afternoon, who do we have joining us?
Jaime, the guitarist from Scalafrea.
Scalafrea. Where are you guys based out of?
We're based out of Denver, Colorado.
So you guys drove up from Denver. Or are you guys on tour right now or just a one-off?
No. Well, yeah. I don't know. Some people call it tours, you know, because you leave town. But we just came to play the show, kick it for a couple days. So, you know, next week we got a show in Portland, Oregon. So we're kind of, you know, we're not on tour, but, you know, we got a couple different fests to play.
Yeah, if you're going to do a fest, you might as well try to milk a couple of dates out of it. You know what I mean? So got my cheat notes here. Scalafrea, if nobody has heard any of your music. Yeah, you can just grab. You got a pen? If no one's heard any of your music, Scalafreya, what song would you have people listen to first?
Well, it's really not about what I'd have people listen to. We've been around for a while, and I think there are a couple songs that people kind of seem to go to or like a lot. You know what I mean? There's one off our first CD called My Poison Cure.
Yep. When did that come out?
2006.
2006?
That was actually, yeah, that was a while ago. There's actually another song that was off the album Ingenuity of the Death Machine. The second song that I would say was Dark Reflections off a Fucus album.
Like, you think those are the songs, like, if someone's never heard, play those first and it gets a good idea of what you guys are all about?
Well, you can just easily search them and you can find them.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then, we do have other stuff, but, you know, that we have to just get that out.
Yeah, our new stuff is kind of where we're at this point.
Who's this guy?
What happened?
There's a lot more people here than it was when
Hello,
it
started.
What the hell is
some
going
random
on?
Guy just grabbed the microphone?
Two dudes yeah. just grabbed the microphone.
Right, yeah.
I was waiting for the wet to go away.
Yeah, this is Joe. I'm drums for Scalafreya.
From Scalafreya. You guys are from Denver.
Denver.
John, second banana, Neckbreaker
born
podcast.
Born and raised.
John, you're probably drenched, is my guess.
And I'm Chris.
You
waited because I sat in the van.
Right on, Chris.
Chris has got this dope-ass shirt on that I'm jealous
John.
Of.
John, right on.
So you guys are coming from Denver. We talked about a song that people would hear first just to get an idea of what you guys are all about. So
My Poison, Dark Reflections, and then, you know, whatever else.
Opposites and Polarity off our new album.
But there's no way to get it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have them for sale now. We'll be on Spotify here shortly and iTunes and all that.
So
pretty much any site you could think of, it's going to be on here within the next couple months.
Right. We're going to rape your airwaves.
Your first release was like 2006, right? About 2006?
Yeah, 2006 was Ingenuity of the Death Machine.
We actually released a live thing in like 2004, but, you know.
So you've been playing out shows since at least 2003, 2004?
Our
first show
was 2002.
So of all these shows you guys have been playing, I'm sure you've been busting ass in Denver. Can you think of one of your best shows and one of your worst?
Well, first of all, we bust ass any part of the country we go.
Well, that's, you know.
Naturally. But as far as best show we played or whatever, you know, this is definitely by far one of the best ones. We just got back from the Bay Area Death Fest.
That was an amazing fest.
What is every band we're interviewing has been playing? Oh, that's a good lineup.
Bay Area Death Fest?
Origin. Yeah. Every band we've been interviewing this weekend, when we mention a best show, they'll say, like,
it was
West
an amazing
Texas
show.
Death
there was
Bay
probably
Area.
3,000 or 4,000 people there. Like, it was packed. Amazing. There was so many good bands. A lot of my favorite bands played. So I was really stoked to just be a part of it and be on it. And
right. So if that is one of your guys' like best shows, like a really good show, you have to have a show story of a show that just sucked. Like, the worst. Like, everything went wrong.
We played a show, like, last minute in, I think it was Boise, Idaho. And we just showed up and we're like, hey, guys, like, we have our gear. You guys have an extra spot tonight? And they actually let us play, but it was, like,
It's a longer story than that because we got the show from Seattle, Washington from playing the night before there. And somebody from the bar across the street from where we were playing knew a guy in Idaho. And she was like, let me call this guy up, you know. And he was like, hey, talk to this guy and ask him if you guys could play. So, you know, that was a weird situation. But, I mean, we have plenty of stories where, you know, we just showed up and it was advertised and everything. And we just played for the guy and his girlfriend and fucking the bands and shit.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, there's like, been a lot of those. It's hard to...
We were young,
worst.
Though. You know, we were young, and we just took whatever shows. And we played with punk rock bands, folk bands, fucking, you know, all kinds
sort of
different
think
genres.
Every show's productive in its own right. You know, there's
sometimes those shows with all the weird bands are the most fun, though.
Yeah. What's that?
Sometimes those bands with all those shows with all the weird bands that don't really fit the. Sometimes those are the most fun.
Or they're the most diverse, where the most, you know, people like show up for their favorite, and then they're like, judge on other bands. You know what I mean?
It's definitely
a coin flip.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been instances where we thought it was going to be a terrible show because there was like one or two people, but then maybe those one or two people came back later and like hooked us up like way sick
bought
on a bigger,
some merch or
better
you know?
Show.
Or they bought some merch, you know, like, oh, we didn't think these guys were going to buy some merch, and they hook us up, buy $50 worth of merch, $30, whatever, you know.
So you never know.
You never know.
You guys have to deal with any of that pay-to-play shit in your area, and like in the Denver area?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pre-sales are a big thing in Denver, especially if you want to open for a national act. Like, we played with so many sick national acts. We played with Nile, Venom, Black Diamond, Cattle Decapitation.
It only changed after like 2010, though. Like pre-2010, you know, there was a lot more leeway.
There was a lot of comp tickets, is what it was.
Yeah,
like,
comp tickets was a lot of leeway. It wasn't as anal now.
What do you mean comp tickets? Just like
they call them comp tickets. They give us handfuls of like 500 tickets that we give away to people that are over 21. And with the hope that they'll come drink at the bar.
Holy. Oh, that's kind of, that's different.
And then we'd have the sales for underage, and they would have to buy their tickets still.
Oh, okay. So
that was when we were younger, you know what I mean? Like, that wasn't like recently, man.
And there
was
the limited comps. But that actually seemed to draw the most people. That usually had the best effect back. Yeah. And then they started just doing straight up pre-sales just to see like what bands are made of and all this.
Yeah.
I kind of think it's a popularity contest rather than
who's hot at the moment. But, you know, that's cool that we already know where we stand with where we're at, and we're just kind of trying to take it across the world. So across the nation first, start with the nation.
So yes, we definitely done pay to play.
We're our show is half heavy metal, half pro wrestling. I know it's weird, but when you hear the word professional wrestling, what's the first thing you think of?
Well, when Ultimate Warrior said Nation of Domination, makes me think of The Rock, dude. Like, I mean, that's when I was like fucking 9, 10 years old. That was the man.
The Rock is over at FTA.
Yeah, The Rock is way over at FTA.
He was here yesterday. He was chilling by the merch booth, signing autographs and shit, you know. But yeah, no, he left. He didn't want to deal with this wet ass weather.
Yeah, he had to go back to Miami.
He had a little ass tent, though. I thought he would have a bigger tent.
Not a big guy in a little tent.
He didn't even have a fucking Winnebago.
Fucking making us pop.
Man, he's humble.
Oh, yeah, when his helicopter dropped him off, he just had a two-person tent with
him. Him and Bear Grylls dropped out of this helicopter. And he said, you got to survive a couple nights in the FTA.
The Rock said,
I filmed a show about that. Yeah, it's going to be on NBC.
The Rock doesn't wear shoes. He only wears socks because he wants his feet to get acclimated to not wearing shoes.
He gets corns really bad and blisters.
What about you? You a pro wrestling fan as a kid, maybe?
Yeah.
I heard what you said.
He said Homeboy looks favorite. What was your favorite wrestler he looks like?
Ultimate Warrior. That was my favorite wrestler.
Warrior's your man, yeah. Rest in power. Or
rest in peace.
Or whatever.
I like the Iron days. Sheik, personally.
Iron Sheik, of course.
Yeah, I'm from the Middle
Sheiky
East.
Baby. How dare you?
You know, yeah. Oh,
man. Sheiky
so
boy.
We're...
No,
you know.
I always like Shawn Michaels too. He's the shit.
Shawn
Michaels.
No,
did you see Black Metal Shawn Michaels here the
dude,
other day?
No,
you had to have seen him.
I might have.
Did he do the Heartbreak Kid? The Black Heartbreak Kid.
It looked like Shawn Michaels with corpse paint.
Two functional eyes.
I'm not ignoring you guys. I gotta find this photo. It was so.
I'm not lying though. That Stone Cold shirt was dope.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Stone Cold's actually my favorite of all time.
Stone Cold
honestly.
Sick.
Stone Cold drinks
way
beer.
Sick.
I told you. And you can't see the corpse paint, but he looks just like he had that.
Stone Cold's partially responsible for
the
alcoholism of our generation.
The Shawn Michaels pants. He had like the red shirt.
Wow.
And if he turned around,
he was a brother.
He was black.
If
he was black Kettle Shawn Michaels.
Hair,
he had the corpse
I'd probably
paint.
Oh, the black Shawn Michaels.
That's awesome.
Black brother Shawn Michaels. I thought that's what you were saying. I was like, what?
Yeah, black Shawn. No, black metal Shawn Michaels.
Oh yeah.
All right. Awesome. So what? You guys are on road. You're on the road. What album is in your van right now?
All three of them. We have all three releases.
A different
like,
album.
In the digital age,
it's about Bluetooth. It's about auxiliary cords.
We have
about
epicardiectomy in our van.
What's on
Pandora, what's on whatever, Spotify. So, I mean,
let me ask that really, better. What are you guys listening to in the car?
What do we listen to on a normal basis? Joe, name like three of your favorites.
I like to listen to like Thin Lizzy and UFO and like old school shit. ELO. Scorpions.
Thin Lizzy. ELO. Scorpions is on tour
some
right
old school.
Now.
Yeah,
Steely
I know.
Dan.
I just missed them
Elton
in Denver.
John, David Bowie. We don't discriminate, man.
See them
you know, if they
want to
grab
right?
a dick, that's cool.
Queensryche, yeah.
Yeah, Queensryche is on it.
You know what
it.
I mean? Like,
I'm
that's not my thing, but,
that.
You know, whatever.
I like Judas Priest. They're one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know Priest about that. Yeah. He grabs a bunch of those.
You
know,
whatever.
It's no big deal, right? It's like, you know, he doesn't make me do it, so I'm cool with that.
I love
you know?
Judas Priest. I love
they're
Queen,
cool, man.
But I hate Lance Bass.
Me too, man. Me
Pat
too.
Pat Patterson, worst intercontinental champion ever.
But we like the New Kids on the Block.
So. Of course. Yeah, somebody was listening to that earlier. I heard yeah. that. Somebody is cranking that. All right, so only a couple of questions left. Next band's going to be coming on here. Day 3 of Full Terror Assault. Do you have any advice to give new bands starting out in 2015?
Okay.
Aside from don't. Yeah.
Besides don't. We have to always say
just
don't.
Just practice a lot and definitely and get out there. Play a lot of gigs if you can. Play out of town as much as you can. Get online. Do some songs online on YouTube. Start posting that stuff out. Spreading the word.
Do work.
Do work.
What's that? Yeah, work.
Yeah, hey, and even if you motherfuckers don't like each other and you guys end up fighting all the fucking time, it doesn't matter, man. That's just what you got to do. I mean, do you want to be Aerosmith or do you want to be fucking, you know, Dying Fetus with just one single original member? You know what I mean? Like, you want to be together? You want to be the Who? Or do you want to be, you know? I mean, do you want to be one guy in one band that just keeps having to hire people? I mean, just you just have to live with what you got. You know what I mean? Just accept that everybody's got to grow together.
Just all have
humble each other.
Must go on.
Humble each other. The fights go on. Trust me, we have enough of those. But, you know, at the same time, we've prolonged for 13 years. I feel like if we could go 13 years, I mean, what the fuck is the point of stopping now?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we know each other. You know, we just have to just be better about dealing with each other's situations.
Bullshit.
And
yeah.
Longevity yeah. happens, man. We love it, man. We love each other. So best thing is just love each other, you know. Don't hate.
Regulate.
Joe Bluth said it best.
If one more question, and then we'll let you guys plug your sites and get this on the road. If there's one band that you could tour with, who would you tour with?
Oh, man.
And you could pick that's anybody, rough. And they say yes.
I mean, it'd have to be like Bruno Mars or some shit. Like, fucking, I'm talking about like actually who?
What's, fucking love Bruno
actually,
Mars.
Actually, Taylor Swift, man, because she's selling shit out. We want man. Taylor Swift. We want that.
You
want
to
open
Swift
up
money.
For Taylor
you
Swift?
You want all those 11-year-old
right
girls watching you
or
guys?
Or Nicki Minaj? Yeah. One of the two. Nicki Minaj, Minaj Taylor Swift. We want. If I could get Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift on a co-headlining bill with Scally opening up, Scalafreya opening up, that would be the dream right there for me. Because we'd be selling out arenas oh, across the U.S. I mean, I'm telling you, we take this shit overseas. We do a world tour.
You guys need a bunch of big booty girls dancing for your stage. Yeah,
don't we, though? That's don't coming. We, though? Don't we, though?
Oh, you man. Get that going, you guys
I mean, at least
shade.
Somebody else yeah. fucking agrees,
so,
you know?
Yeah, things right. to look out for the future. We do have a new album that we're writing currently and recording. And we'll be doing The Sickness in September in Portland, which
right
is going to be next weekend, actually next Friday we'll be there. And yeah, we just have some new stuff coming out, and stay tuned for future albums.
Scalafreya, that's how you spell it.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, all
we
that
are
shit.
On Facebook
all that stuff.
Just /Scalafreya.
Google it.
Reverb,
that's the way to go.
Whatever, you know what I mean? Just
YouTube.
Put it in there and see what comes
we're
up.
All
you know
over
what I mean?
YouTube.
There'll be a lot of random stuff, you know what I mean? You might even see our bassist Jake naked on the internet, but he's not here right now, so. But that'll be
that's
a nice surprise
problem.
For everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Nice
guys,
surprise once you Google it, you know.
We appreciate the time.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you guys, man. Neckbreaker.net.
Yeah,
we're
we'll
just, you know,
Scalafreya. Neckbreaker.
Neckbreaker.net. And
yeah.
go check it out.
Cheers
we're
and
awesome,
beers.
Man. We're going to hook these dudes up. Cheers
fuck
and beers.
Yeah. Cheers.
So we're here at Neckbreaker. Bryce, very unprofessional, eating a cheeseburger. We're sitting here with...
I am Haldor Von Hammer of Super Chief.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to Neckbreaker. Our host is eating food instead of hosting the show, so I'm gonna have to be the one with any professionalism here.
Good, and I could be the loud obnoxious one.
Oh, man, it's probably a really good cheeseburger, though. It looks decent.
See, yeah.
It looks like it's almost like McDonald's level.
$6.50. Two burgers is $8. But the
double
right, double
cheeseburger $6.50.
So, you know, it's very good, actually.
So you gotta enjoy it.
They had awesome hot dogs yesterday. They're huge. Today they were just normal hot dogs.
Yeah, just a little guy. You know,
I think they realized, wait a minute, we can get the smaller dogs, charge the same price, and call it a day.
They upped it to 50 cents.
So I was eating this burger, and I didn't catch your name. I know you're in Super Cheap, but what's your name?
My name is Haldor Von Hammer.
Von Hammer. We're going to go with Von Hammer. Is that cool?
That works. That works.
Von Hammer, you're in Super Chief. You're here at Full Terror Assault. This is day three. We're all a little... Actually, we're not as hungover as day two, which is kind of weird. You would think it'd be worse.
I certainly was at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, you were struggling earlier.
I feel a lot better.
Round two sleep?
Yeah,
oh,
man.
And now I'm great to go.
Well, the weather was pretty good last night to sleep. The hangover
It was
off.
Better than a week that night before. Either that or I was more prepared.
Yeah,
it was the first night, like from what I heard, like it was hot as shit. And then like last night, it was like just perfect to sleep a hangover off.
Just right.
Yeah. It was good temperatures.
Super Chief, if someone has never heard of your band, what song would you have them listen to first?
I'd probably go Huntress.
Huntress?
Which is it's about a woman that goes around murdering animals with her bow and arrow.
Ooh. It's kind of in her name.
Like
there.
That veterinarian in Texas.
Kind of.
I thought it was a dentist.
No, she was a vet.
Oh.
Wait, no, the dentist.
The vet was in. He went
she
to
did
Africa.
Dentistry on the side.
There was a veterinarian in Texas who killed a feral cat outside, and it was like someone's like cat that they loved, and it was a big to do.
People love their cats.
It was on the internet, and people were complaining about it.
Wait, they complain about something on the internet?
Nope.
You don't say. How long are you guys?
No, you're talking about the lion, no, the Lion
Cecil.
King.
Not Seth, no.
It's
getting dark out here.
Yeah.
Definitely a storm brewing.
It must be a black metal band. It's kind of like when you ejaculate on a woman, you take the semen, rub it on her forehead, and just go Simba.
Yeah. Not yet, but Sunday night around 9 o'clock, I plan on it. Let me just write that on my arm.
Wait a minute, we're getting off the plane. No, okay, never mind. Okay, hopefully I'm not involved.
Talking Jays!
Talking
Kong!
You guys, how long have you guys been playing out for now? As a band?
Well, playing out about 3 years. We've been together for about 6. It's like a dysfunction, like any dysfunctional marriage, you know? We hang out, we drink a lot, and then we fight, and we go out and we play.
Fight, fuck?
Yeah. It's really, you know, it's the secret to any good relationship.
And you could you give us like what genre would you describe you guys as? Every band's kind of a, you know,
yeah.
You're not
there,
just
there's
one
always
genre,
something
but.
Like no, we're folk butt rock metal or something. No, but
folk
we're
butt rock.
We're I guess stoner rock is the closest thing that we really get to.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, we compared to that type of genre the most, I think, more than anything else.
You know, everyone's going to pinch hole you into one. So just even though you got like 3 or 4 genres that influence you, everyone from their eyes is going to say you're Southern rock.
Well, exactly. I think we have a pretty unique sound. There's really nothing we can really
compare
ourselves
to. No, really, we all have different influences. Really, I mean, the drummer really loves Dishwalla, and I'm pretty sure that the guitarist is a big fan of Mercy Me. Yeah.
I think your drummer, somebody's drummer was playing Dream Theater earlier. Of course, more Dream Theater here. So of the 3 years you've been playing shows, do you have a show that stands out as one of your best and one of your worst?
Let's start with the worst, because I always remember the worst. So you're playing this show in Kansas City, right? We were looking for a place because we're going on. It was on the way to another place. And some band told us, we'll set you up. And it was a place called the Art Closet. Now, the name should have been enough of a notice that this place is not going to be set up for something loud. So we get there, and there was an art show before we played.
Of course.
So we had to wait outside. Also, they allowed no booze. Now, we are all alcoholics, so this is a problem. So I go down to the liquor store. I get a couple of fucking like little bottles of whiskey to put in my pocket. He's like, all right, so they're serving Coca-Cola. This is something that I can mix with my Coca-Cola that I'm going
to
get.
Good to go. Turn around, dump it in, you're good to go.
The band that set it up decided they're going to play first because, you know, they're the draw, so it makes sense that they're going to, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to play first. So then we're playing to.
They have stuff to do.
Two people of that first band and then the whole second band and then one of their girlfriends.
Oh, always.
I don't know if we played horrible
I really don't know because there was no fucking sound. There was no sound, anything like that. It was just, we're up there. We're going to go ahead and play. We're going to finish our fucking set. We did. And we walked away, walked out of there, loaded our stuff. And some homeless guy come up and was just like, hey, man, I'm out. You just died. I need some money. Casey, our guitarist, we gave him like $2, gave him like 50 cents, and he walked away. I don't know how that made his mom come back alive, but I hoped it worked.
We're going to come back. Got another band starting here. We won't be able to hear us as well. Super Chief, what's your website? Well, on Facebook and all that?
Superchiefband.com.
Google that shit, too.
Or look us up on the Twitter or the Facebook, you know, whatever.
And it all links up.
Neckbreaker will always be a free show, but that's because we're covering the expenses. If you really enjoy what you're hearing and want to keep that ship afloat, here's a few easy ways you can help.
Buy some merch at neckbreaker.net. You look good now, but why not look great wearing our shirt?
On your next payday, transfer a few bucks through PayPal to Brian at neckbreaker.net. Every penny goes to our server costs.
Click the ads you see on neckbreaker.net. They're geared towards metalheads and wrestling fans, and they certainly help us pay those gimmicks they send us in the mail called bills.
And finally, be sure to check out all our friends and sponsors at neckbreaker.net/sponsors. They help spread the word on Neckbreaker, and we enjoy returning the favor. Thanks again, and cheers.
Random panel. We're back here at Full Terror. We got a few minutes between bands, so whenever we can do that, we grab mics. And
life without metal is not life.
Story of
my metal
life. Let's switch gears to heavy metal. We're gonna do a kind of a metal panel. We've been doing wrestling for a while now. Let's switch. Oh no, we did it with Metal Archives. What am I thinking? All right, worst album, best band, or we'll pick a band you really enjoy. And then think of the worst album from that band. John, what's one of your favorite bands in the top three?
The top three?
Or top five.
I mean, I like the Ramones a lot.
And I'm sure
the End of the Century is a pretty garbage album.
End of the Century, was that? When did that come out?
79, 80. It's the red one.
Original lineup and everything, and just
it wasn't the original lineup. Tommy had been out by that point. It was Marky instead of Tommy, but
right.
But it was Johnny, Joey, and Dee Dee, which was kind of really the only thing you can count as original members because Marky was in the band for so long. So yeah, original members, we'll say.
Chris, you gotta have a band in your top five somewhere that has a terrible dog shit album.
Yeah, Megadeth, Pooper Collider. That album is fucking dog shit.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad.
It's like a bunch of 12-year-olds wrote that album.
Oh, God.
It's like we have Chris Broderick in this band. Take a back seat. You're in the injured reserve.
Super Collider was
brutal.
You're
a healthy scratch.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, Jim Stain has the mental capacity of a 12-year-old at this point, I think, so.
Yeah.
Well, like, what was he saying? Like, his previous album, the Megadeth albums weren't selling as well as they wanted them to
But albums don't sell as they used to, so.
Right, well, Dave's probably just in his ways. He's just thinking, well.
I still don't understand the thought process.
It must be because we didn't make a Risk type of album. It needs to be more poppy.
Right.
That's why.
I think, yeah, he's like, fuck, I'm
no,
tired
it's
of writing.
No one buys your fucking records anymore, idiot.
Or no one's buying any records, I guess. But yeah.
We didn't sell a lot of records last time. Let's make a bad one.
Yeah, exactly.
We're trying to get that Bieber money.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
What about Priest? What's the worst Priest album?
The last four?
Eh.
Angel of Retribution wasn't bad.
They weren't terrible.
No, what's that double album?
Nostradamus?
Nostradamus was way too long.
Yeah. Very few double albums work. I mean, S&M doesn't work. Trust me.
We've been
hearing it all day.
We've been force-fed that for fucking 2 days now.
You know, it's
unless you're Outkast or Wu-Tang Clan, you can't make a double album.
You know what I didn't think is that when we try to upload our show coming up, it's going to be all S&M in the background, probably getting picked up and then by the YouTube upload. If there's music in the background, it stops you from making ad money.
Is it loud enough to make that happen?
Probably not. But if it comes out nice and crystal clear, and if you upload it, somehow YouTube's
we could put filters on
magic.
It.
Well, YouTube is too smart.
Somehow, if they find out,
I don't think I care. But I don't think I care for how smart YouTube is now.
Right, right.
How am I supposed to do illegal shit?
It's because they're owned by Google, and as we've proven, Google is way smarter than Siri.
It's true.
So, Nostradamus.
Google knows that Lex Luger killed Miss Elizabeth.
It sure does.
God.
That was confirmed on the way here.
Within 10 minutes of being in the car, we that was the first thing we used.
Or just immediately started Googling wrestling deaths.
And the date. Rick Rude died on 420. He loves smoking that dope.
Yeah.
He loves
smoking on that dope.
All right. What about, let's see, Iron Maiden? Who? What's the worst Iron Maiden album?
What was that 2001 one?
Brave New World.
Brave New World wasn't very good.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible though.
But
the one that Rainmaker was on?
I don't remember.
That was like 2004. I remember that album being there.
Right. Somebody told me that on that Brave New World, they played like most of that album during their set on that tour. So like they played most of Brave New World and a couple of old tracks.
The problem with saying
that
Maiden is a bad album is every Maiden album sounds like a Maiden album. What? They can't sound like anyone but them. So like it's just like the worst Maiden songs, which are still kind of cool.
They're just okay, right?
They don't stray from like being Maiden very often.
There you have it. We'll be back.
This band's gonna be terrible.
Full Terror Assault, we're back here. We're at the end of the festival, day three. We had an awesome time. The toilets are full, and no Wi-Fi for a couple of days, no cell phone service. So we've been in the fucking woods. We've been out of touch with reality, and
it's been great.
At times, it is a nice refresh. You know, we're not checking our feed 9, 10 times a day.
I'm trying to.
Your battery's drastically going down as you're trying.
My phone is still on airplane mode.
So you have a lot of battery left.
I do.
I haven't looked at my phone in a while. I bet I'm at 100%.
This is our wrap-up call. We had an awesome time. Tons of band interviews. We hope you guys...
98 degrees.
It was very toasty at times.
It's been mostly cold. I've been fucking
cold.
Yeah,
it's been cold more often than it's been
hot.
It
was really hot.
Oh, you guys
were
sleeping cold, though, right? Because
I'm like not looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, it's going to suck again.
So, pros and cons, and I don't care if the promoters are listening or not. We're going to give you pros and cons of a metal festival, whether we're sponsors or media, whatever. Pros and cons. Pros? And we'll start with cons, and then we'll end up with pros, and we'll call it a day. Cons, I will say the...
Bands dropping.
Bands dropping is not good, and it hasn't... I Hate God, which is unfortunate. You know, that would have been good to
see. Which isn't the promoter's fault, by any means.
And not even putting us on the promoter, but like in the festival as a whole. I Hate God, a lot of the local... The baby bands.
Baby bands, yeah.
Who are, you know, the drop-off, we ran out of gas money, the non-excuses versus, the real, like, family health issues, stuff like that.
Kevin Owens is here.
Kevin Owens showed up. Cons, I mean, you know, it's a very large venue. Very large venue for a first-year festival. I mean, I'm not saying it's easier to find another campground like this in the middle of the woods. Not at this size, but I think if you had a smaller venue, wouldn't feel as empty at times.
Maybe something more accessible.
Yes, that's another good one. We're a little off location here. We're in the fucking woods of Illinois. Other than that,
really, there's very few.
Fans are good. People have been good. No fights.
Oh yeah, it's been a good time. I don't know. Any beef anywhere.
Really, I'm having a hard time drawing at cons, other than it's like. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, short
I didn't
of us
bring
being
enough socks.
Short enough.
I didn't feel like bringing a sweeping bag.
Short of us being in our 30s and having those 30-year-old complaints. Yeah. It's other than that, bands have been good. Awesome set by Obituary.
Yeah, they still owe me Final Thoughts, but that's okay.
Yeah, they didn't play Final Thoughts.
These are our Final Thoughts. So we're full circle. I don't know.
I got it.
Yeah, it just wasn't funny. you have Obituary killed Revocation. Tight set, real tight set. And a lot of their material I don't even know. So all the newer shit they've been putting out, I don't know any of it. So
I think the only con I really have that I'm taking away from this is I was half asleep during Cannabis Corpse set.
Half asleep?
Yeah. Oh, I still heard them.
Oh, you heard it. Okay, that's good.
But I was dead tired.
Internal Bleeding, I assume, is going to put on a really good, awesome set. They haven't played yet, but I think they're up next. So let's just assume that they killed it.
The quality of the band's definitely increased on the last 2 days, too.
Yeah.
Gruesome was really surprising. I mean,
the end of Thursday was really good, but it was more...
Thursday played?
What?
Thursday played? I didn't know Thursday was on.
You said, no, they don't play anymore. They broke up on a Friday.
Of course they did.
I actually think they might play now, but...
Right. I mean, other bands, our friends in Obstructor are going to be playing later tonight as well. We have tons of good people, tons of good friends.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate any promoter giving us an opportunity to come out and do this. Awesome. So you know what? With that said, let's wrap things up here at Full Terror Assault Day 3. Chris, pleasure.
Pleasure was all
this
mine.
This was all fun. John?
I'm cold.
And I'm Brian. We hope you enjoyed our episode.
No, I'm John. I was just telling you my temperature of my body.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
But I want to be Frank for a minute.
Okay.
This is Frank from Neckbreaker signing off.
Thanks, Frank. Oh, yeah, that Frank guy's a much better co-host than John. Let me tell you. Oh, hey, John. You're back. How's it going?
No, I'm still Frank.
Oh, okay. So, with that said.
Can I be Frank for another minute?
No. No, the bit's over.
All right.
So we're glad you guys enjoyed the episode or the episodes of all the Full Terror Assault coverage we've done. Maybe we'll do more of these in the future. Other festivals, maybe like Maryland Death Fest or West Texas, L.A. I mean, Las Vegas Death Fest. That'd be cool.
Yeah, do Las Vegas.
All that shit. So
do Las Vegas because I'm going there anyway.
Good shit. We hope you enjoyed, and cheers and beers.
Life without metal is not life.
All right, the episode is wrapped, and now you're asking yourself, what's next? Besides downloading more episodes of your favorite podcast, you should hit up some shows. But where do you get your tickets?
Just Google Click a Ticket. Search their site for some awesome event seats, add them to your cart, and don't forget to enter the promo code NECKBREAKER at checkout for an exclusive 5% discount.
Once again, Google Click It Ticket, add some tickets to your cart, and enter NECKBREAKER for your 5% discount. Your support is greatly appreciated.